be able to get him reimbursed. We'll take a look and see what we could do.
I mean, I did try all possible ways. I mean, to get a...
Go ahead, Sabrina.
Yes, Mr. Hurstman did contact me several months ago. I was actually also contacted through Angel Sablon, and I made it very clear that as Walter even mentioned, that we're not sure there's a mechanism for a private citizen. The law is very clear. It's the mayor's office that gets in contract with permanent companies. And at the time, the belief that Mr. Hertzett was doing this work, there was no purchase orders. Their fund, the May funds were exhausted. So I told Angel Sablon and I told Mr. Hurstlett that Longgate cannot reimburse him. We don't get involved in those kind of issues.
That's very nice, but I mean, I understand where you're coming from. You just basically go by the rules and regulations which have been made effective in 2019. But what I'm talking about is I tried all kinds of possibilities to be straightforward. I talked to your people, to Kipa. I was unable to talk to, I only talked to, for, of Kipa, only to the chairman. I was unable to talk to Mr. Leon Guerrero because I never got a response from him. So, I mean, then when I wanted to come there, and also their telephones were off because the penny was shut down completely, everything was locked. So what am I supposed to do? I mean, now it's a donation to the public. You know, I mean, this couple hundred bucks which I expended, this is a given thing now. Thank you, thanks to the efficiency of Kipa, that it became a donation to the people of Guam. But I think that's wrong.
Right. Bob, this is Conchita. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Conchita.
So Mr. Hurstlett, I mean, in summary, and I do understand your frustration, but I'll say I think this is what my colleagues have been trying to say, which is Guam EPA has to work within the confines of the law. So if the law says we can distribute the money to the mayor's council, then that we can do. If they say that we can give money in terms of stimulus to recycling companies, which is what the law says we can do, and it matches what's in the regulations, then we can do that. But Mr. Hurstlett, we can't even pay ourselves. If Guam EPA wanted to go and collect batteries, we couldn't reimburse ourselves because that same law did not make an exception for even us. And it's really too bad that we didn't coordinate with you sooner on helping or providing assistance to this resident, because clearly, you know, the mayor's the role of the MOU and the money going to the mayor's is to go and collect these recyclables to assist, you know, the citizens. But that is the mechanism of which in how Guam EPA can assist the public. We can't do that because the law does not allow for it.
Okay.
And I know that's not the answer you want to hear.
No.
But that's what we have to work with.
Anyway, I will not get further into it. At least you know now my point of it. My major problem is here, basically, that interagencies with regards to mayors and an agency which is you're independent, right, you're an independent agency, and you have your own rules and regulations. I mean, the deep RFF has been prior to its proper improvement by the legislature often. And I'm not saying that I want an exception now here. I want to go with the law. So, I mean, here we have their excuses consistently being done with COVID-19, under the COVID-19 thing. And that reminds me, going back, in the 1970s, when there was no merchandise available on the island, because it was on the Guam Bear, and the Guam Bear sank in 1967. Right? So, I mean, I said that's an old story. I'm now you can see I'm not a young person on the island. I've been on the island for a long, long time. So I know the history, and I think that's shameful. And here I helped out a widower who was requested by somebody else to clean a leased property. And the mayor was not helping because of COVID-19. IPA wasn't available for COVID-19. So I jumped in and helped out. So that's it. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Tom.
Yeah. The chairman,
yeah.
The possibilities are limited, or we don't think so. We will check with legal counsel what we can do.
Okay, I appreciate it, Walter.
Okay.
Nothing you can do.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's. Anybody else got any questions regarding the RRF? Any of the board members?
I have a question on the financials.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not even sure what page it is, but the one. I guess there's two pages, and one of them shows it starts with amount appropriated by the legislature.
Yeah.
You see 2.3 million. Okay, fine. But underneath, then it shows under budget, there's six items. It has UOG, G3, 500,000 in it. That is not in our budget. That was, remember, that was separated. The legislature gave 500,000 separated. So it
I think the intent is just how much is coming out of the 5.69 million.
No, because we got our original amount should have been 2.8 million.
Eight, yes.
They gave a separate one, 500,000 to UOG. We got 2.3 million. So it's not part of that 5.698. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
are you there? Is Connie there to explain that?
Yes, I am here, and okay. I agree with Director Anroth, the Vice Chair Anroth. That shouldn't be on the budget, and I'm not sure how that got there. As far as what I sent you guys, I reviewed that, so I'm not sure which one you guys are reviewing. But I know I revised it, and I removed it, and I specifically removed it since the get-go, coming into the fiscal year. Because that's not out of the budget. That was out from the legislature.
The RRF consists of the amount appropriated and the amount that's in the non-lapsing, or what we call the mother account, which totals right. that 5.7 million. So yes. The UOG G3 is not coming from the RRF.
It is coming from the RRF, but they took it out of the 2.3 before the legislature appropriated the funds to us. So there's a separate budget in the law that already took out the 500.
Yeah. Okay.
No, let me.
Go ahead.
What I wanted to clarify, no, it's not coming out of this RRF, but it comes under the rules and regulations of the RRF. Okay, but it's not coming out of this 5.7.
Right. Okay, right. So if it's not included in the $2.3 million on the right. first line, it should not be on this spreadsheet.
Correct.
Right. Right.
But if I could just interject there, it is coming out of the RRF fund, but it's not
separated from the RRF.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
So if it is separated, but it is coming out of the RRF, then let's please include a row that shows that 500,000 has been added to the RRF.
I read it.
Can be done, sir. And again, I think there'll be a lot more clarity when Dr. Shelton gives his proposal on how to fit those points.
If I can... If I can make a recommendation, and I understand understand where Vice Chair Roth is coming from and Director Carbolito is coming from. Once Dr. Shelton submits whatever he needs to submit to the board for their approval, we can give you a separate spreadsheet for their expenditures of the $500,000. That way it is not a confusion with the financials that you guys get on a monthly basis.
What I'm interested in is we have the amount in the RRF, and including the mother account is 5.7 million. So whatever the bottom line is, we have a starting point of how much is in the RRF, and then all the expenditures from the RRF, if it could be summarized in one spreadsheet, that'd be good.
Okay. I just want to clarify, just to clarify that if the UOG doesn't spend that $500,000, it does not come back to RRF. Okay. So correct. That's why I think it should be separated. It's not under the RRF as it is. It was taken out of the RRF and given to UOG.
That is correct. And that is why I removed it and I didn't want it there because it confused a lot of people because of the mere okay. fact that it was already taken out.
Okay. There's a couple of other things here too. Under anybody else have a question on the budget or the RRF information here? Yeah, my battery's about to die. If not, let's go to the discussion on the Board of Directors stipend. I'm not sure who
By law, every Board of Directors, one EPA Board of Director, has the ability to collect a $50 stipend for every board meeting they attend. In the past, the board has...
Mute? There you go.
Yeah, so in the past, past boards, they had signed a waiver indicating that they did not need to receive within the past year and a half, there has been a request to revisit that. And so we've talked to legal counsel and said, yes, of course. For those board Board of Directors that want to receive the stipend, we need to get that information, make sure that they understand that the stipend does come with minor requirements, which of course is you attend the meeting, you provide the meeting minutes, and a couple other things that at that point you will receive the $50 stipend. So what we're looking at is, I know that there is a couple of the Board of Directors that were that had requested it earlier, so we're looking at the date that they requested, and since legal said yes, they're due it, we will work with the individual board of directors to provide the funds from when they requested that they start receiving the stipend, and from there we'll move forward, sir.
Okay.
So again, the board present, the board of directors present, we do have one. Maybe two that have expressed that they want to receive it. If there are any of you that did not express that to us, please do, and we will initiate the process to get you guys a stipend for every meeting you attend.
Okay. Yeah. So if you guys just want to go directly to the agency, to Arlene, probably to. Get it into Arlene and Walt to take care of. That'll work. Okay, let's go on to the plastic bag ban real quick. Walt, you had something
on that? So I'd just like to start off that come January or this January 1st, we were required to start the enforcement of the Public Law 35-130. Glenn provided a, Nicholas, our solid waste program manager, provided a pretty good, it was really good presentation to the IBTF. Since then, he's been working on some of the, gray areas, which are some of the definitions that weren't as vetted in the law as we would hope they were, which is provided in your packet. So what I'd like to offer is, if you'd like to either receive the presentation or hear the presentation, we could try to schedule it for next month, or if that's ready, if you guys want to hear it now, we could try it this month. But the definitions that he's been working on are listed, and at this point, I'll pass it to Glenn to either go through his definitions that he's provided or leave it to the board to ask questions based on the law.
So you guys have the proposed Guam EPA policy on the disposable bags for compostable paper, biodegradable HDPE number 2. If you have any questions regarding that policy, just let me know and I can try and see if I can elaborate on it. Otherwise, you know, it's in front of you and I'm not sure if you want me to read because I'm a lousy reader. But I'll read it if you want me to.
No.
Yeah.
I guess I Glenn, I'm just confused here. Under limit of definitions, it says EPA recognizes exception to the ban of disposable. What exception are you talking about?
So the exception to the ban of the disposables, there's 11 items that are not considered plastic bags per the definition of the law. So those are exempt from it. That's a large exemption. And then there's other exemptions to the law in regards to the classifications of businesses, their definitions. Like, for instance, you know, as per the law, they identify businesses and those businesses based on Chapter 70 of Title 11 GCA for small businesses. They exclude U.S. governments and Government Guam from those definitions. So as an example, if let's say the commissary and the exchange continues to use these carry out bags. They're using currently recyclable HDPE number 2 bags, which is in line, but really they're exempt from the law based on that definition of business. I actually commented on that. Walter was asking me about whether or not they should follow that law or not. So I sent it to Kristen and along with the supporting documentation to get her opinion on it, but I strongly believe that they're exempt. Likewise, with the Government of Guam is exempt from this law. And then, of course, you know, just the definition of disposable bags that shall not the following. So it's kind of weird the way they define it in the law, but they come up with like. You know, for fruits and vegetables, for small hardware items and stuff like that. So based on those types of definitions, those are the exemptions to that.
Right. So if I could add to that, so the work that Glenn did is some of the gray areas in the law that exist. So these are our to provide definitions on what is our enforcement authority. In addition to vendor credits to the IBTF, we've been requested for us to work with UOG to try to put the publicly related efforts together, and that would include these definitions that were providing for the directors, as well as the law itself, and again, with DOG's help, we plan to do a to us, part of the department is knowing what your regulatory oversight is. This is helping us get to where we can go out to the public and identify what is allowable versus what should be or limited from the community. So that's where we're at right now.
Right. And that limited definition really, based on the law that was just recently passed, which is 35-130. So that becomes effective in December. And the bags that we identify as disposable bags that are authorized, such as compostable, biodegradable, HDPE, those things in December of this will be banned from its use. So after December, going into January, we're looking at the continual use of paper bags, and then the ban on paper bags would go into effect in July of 2022, with the exception of facilities that or establishments that are eating and drinking establishments defined by the law again. And basically, if your establishment has a sanitary permit attached to it, then that'll be exempt from the paper bag use. But otherwise, come December, the compostable, biodegradable, HDPE number 2, which is recyclable, those bags will be banned. So this policy really is for such a short time. In different states, it gets really detailed certification of distributors and wholesalers and manufacturers and, you know, the standards. And it just gets really deep into the details. So I think I'd rather have seen it at the end of the year. We start enforcing, because then we don't have to deal with the plastic bags per se. And if there was plastic bags in use, then we'll know there would be in violation, because you can distinguish plastic bags and paper bags. So, but that's the law. You know, we have until December of this year to use disposable bags that are biodegradable, compostable, and HDPE number 2, paper bags and reusable bags.
Okay, I can just mention a couple of things. Glenn, on your page 2, some things are not clear. For instance, under compostable bag, item 2, labeled in accordance with one of the following, and you give about 4 choices. It can be green. The others, it doesn't say anything about green. So you have to be careful about that. Under B, biodegradable, labeled in accordance with one of the following. The first one, A, says put biodegradable on one side. B says put biodegradable on both sides. But it starts with one of the following. So in other words,
okay.
You understand what I'm saying? You're saying it can be inside, outside. No.
Right.
And
the reason is because we're actually behind the curve on this whole definition. There's bags out there that people were taking the initiative to get into compliance, and they were purchasing that is out there, and it's very unfortunate for them that we didn't come up with a definition. But you know, I have more to say about, you know, where we're at with this, because I thought we were blindsided with this whole thing anyway. We were working with the senator's office, and it went out, and then paper bags went in, and then paper bags went out, and then all of a sudden everything is back in, and oh, Guam EP, what are you going to do about it? So I'm not too happy about that, but you know, the verbiage that we have here is what we're seeing out there. So if their intent is to comply with the use of biodegradable, compostable, HDPE, you know, are we going to penalize them because we define it one label, or we define it with no label, or, you know, so my personal opinion was I thought that if we had made it easy and just went general, if the bag labeled red.
I'm not sure if he lost it. I appreciate his passage. Once again, this policy is being presented to the board for your approval.
Nick, we lost connection. We lost connection. I'm not even on.
Neither am I.
Shit.
Oh, wait.
I don't know. Walter's still on.
Get this approval or the policy approved by the board, that that's the definitions that we would be using for our enforcement and working with you to follow through with the enforcement. Again, as Jen pointed out, some December
this year, additional things will be added on, and we can put those definitions prior to,
so that you guys can
Either vote or just take a look and see if you agree with the line of enforcement that we try to do. Again, some people have criticized Wallingby that we're not enforcing, but you have to know what you're enforcing, which is what our attempt here is policy
submitting to the board for their approval is what we're trying to do right now.
And Walter, right, there was a new law that was passed, and it was only passed probably, would it be in December?
The door, I'm like, yo, we lost.
He's still talking.
Yes, that's correct. So these were passed in December. So we are, you know, Len said that we were caught off guard, and there was discussions that we would work on the definitions before they were passed to law and do certain things, certain timeline. Unfortunately, it wasn't followed through that way, and so that's why we had to work on identifying and ensuring that the definitions that we want to, or that we believe is intended, we present to the board, and you guys, the board of directors, will take a look, see if they agree with us, provide their comments, and then hopefully vote to make this our policy, tell us what we're enforcing. And at that point, we've already started the discussions with VOG to assist Guam EPA in outreach. And so this is part of the outreach that we want to do before we start knocking on doors to be able to tell them, you know, you are violating the public law. And so, again, this is presented to the board of directors for your approval. I already hear some comments and amendments that need to be made. We will address those, but again, this is for us so that we understand that we can start informing. This is exactly what our enforcement authority will be.
Okay.
So I recommend that maybe we, you know, the board takes the this handout home and go over it and come up with any questions we have for the next board meeting, that, you know, we can go over this in great detail and make any changes or get some of the detail fleshed out, and then we can go ahead and vote on it from there.
That's your call, sir.
So what do you guys think?
And again, if you guys would make exception to the rule by making it as general as possible, that would definitely be easier on the regulated community who was trying to comply with the ban on single-use plastic bags. The language that I use is language they use in Hawaii and in California. Some states don't even use the term compostable or biodegradable. So it gets really tied up in the details, but the law, you know, said that it is allowed, biodegradable, compostable, HDPE, and if we can just make it general, And if that's what the label says it is, then great. Otherwise, we're going to have to define. And if we define, I suspect that some of the bags that are already out there are going to be off the market.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Walter, Glenn, Arlene, do you think you could send us also just the law so we can have it side by side? And then we'll vet it and then provide questions or comments.
Yeah. Yes. Of course.
Thank you. Thanks.
Will do.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that pretty much completes our agenda. Does anybody have anything else they want to bring up or discuss at the end of the meeting here? If not,
Bob, did you want to...
Go ahead, Roland.
This is Roland. Sorry, I got off, but I'm back on. Conchita said you had a question.
It was just on the SIP, on the that item in the agenda regarding the findings of failure to submit state implementation plans. If there was any update on that, that was just an agenda item.
Okay, yeah, well, I did get the updated modeling protocol yesterday from GPA. Unfortunately, I'm in a class today and tomorrow for a oil spill response certification. As soon as I can, if I can't just do it tonight, I'll send it off this weekend or by this week to US EPA for review.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one component. And then we're currently working on the inventory that was not done in regards. So basically we need to go physically because of the pandemic. We weren't able to do it because we need to verify what type of stationary sources are within 3.5 miles of that area. So starting next week, we'll be going out on the field to verify every emission source that's stationary within 3.5 miles of the power plant. And then after we complete that, we have to do after we complete that emission inventory, then we have to work with US EPA on doing calculations to determine the amount of if it will have an effect on the emissions for SO2 in that area or not. And then from that step on, we need to just package the rest of the SIP information, including the change to the... So we'll be packaging it all for your review. It will be an amendment, a few amendments to the current regulations. There's like three amendments that we need to put in. And then once that's done, we're going to package the whole thing. And if it's approved by you, then approved by the governor, and it'll go to the legislature after that. But we just need to finish packaging and completing our inventory. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay. Okay.
If you have any questions, I can answer them.
Okay. Anybody have anything for Roland? Anything you want to ask him? Well, if not, let's set the next meeting. I guess that'd be the third Thursday of February. Let's see if I got a calendar here.
That would be February 18th, sir.
Okay. Okay. February 18th. Everybody okay with that? Okay. Well, let's shoot for that then. February 18th. Okay, is there a motion to adjourn? You guys want to keep going?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, Steve Carbolito, motion to adjourn. Second?
Steve Carrara, second.
Steve Carrara, way to go, Steve. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? No. Without objection? Okay, meeting's adjourned.
Okay.
You guys, thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Jesus.
So, Roland, the update was basically no update.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he left right after the Carando.
Hey, Ernie, would I be able to forward you the law and then you can forward it to the board?
Please, I was going to ask you to do that.
Okay, all right, I'll forward it to you then.
Thank you. And I will do that tomorrow. I ain't doing that now.
Sure. You know what? Really, I don't know if they understand the sense of urgency of this thing. So we're going to wait now until the
board meeting.
That'll be 2 months in.
Yeah.
And the implementation will be for
Will
be for the next 10 months.
Yeah.
And that's why, when I gave those options, when Director Ralph was mentioning, hey, you're giving these options. Mm-hmm. The reason why I'm giving those options is because that's what's out there right now.
Yeah.
So they got a compostable bag, right?